pretty wild world out there. We live in a pretty ugly world, a pretty godless world, and we are to raise godly children in a godless world. Is that right? And it's not easy. Is that right? Come on. It's not easy. It takes much effort. It's demanding. It's frustrating. It's confusing. It's challenging. There is some real tough times. The world's against you. Children, the devil wants you to be destroyed. Is that right? He doesn't care how he does it. He wants you to have your mind off of God. He wants your heart away from God, and he's doing everything to make that happen today. And if you have some parents that have you here or grandparents that have you here, you should praise God, because they are trying to give you a place where you're going to survive and succeed. Amen? And the world out there is after you to take you down. And we live in an ungodly world, and we're to raise godly kids, and we're to say, God, help me. Let me tell you, the time invested in raising godly kids is worth it. The investment is worth it. The effort is worth it. The reward, the source of the joy. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It's the greatest. So I tell you to put that in there. Proverbs 22:6. We have the big thing here, and the first thing we must do in our children rearing is to calculate what they're doing. I want you just to look at all of this, to calculate. The first thing we're going to do to raise godly kids is we got to observe them. We got to calculate them. We got to put some thought into analyzing, evaluating them, studying them, exploring who they are, and we need to teach them who they are in God, and teach them to like who they are, and then to be like they are, to be real, to be genuine. And it's important that we grasp that, because Proverbs 22:6, it says here, let's look at it here. This is the Amplified Version. It says, train up. We all know that. Train up. And to train is line upon line. To train, you know, we just had a great boxer to die, Muhammad Ali, or Cassius Clay, as he's supposed to be known. Did he do a lot of training? Huh? A lot of training. My goodness. You train for a year and you have a 3-hour fight. You know what I'm saying? And you go, my goodness. And a lot of training. We got to do a train up a child in the way he should go. In parenthesis, this is mainly from the Hebrew. It's one of the possible interpretations. Teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. The way he should go. The way, his way. This word "the" here could be interpreted his way, the child's way, the child's distinct way, the child's planned way, his God calling, individual God calling, his personality, temperament, skills, interest. And you realize, and it says, even when he is old. Now, we always think this old here is like me. But it also has a word, if you look it up in the Greek, one of the side words, one of the words it comes from as bearded. One of the interpretation is you train a child in his bend, in his way, in his personality, in his likes, in his temperament. And when he gets of age of growing a beard, he will succeed. He will succeed. And you realize, is each child different? My, each child is different, and it's amazing to catch that, and we're in different abilities and talents and characteristics and mannerisms and dispositions. What kind of child was Dale Sowers? Henry, somebody said. Do you think Dale was playing with his hands right very early in his life? Figuring stuff out, building stuff, creating stuff. Probably had a jar of candy close by too. And because that's just who he is. That's who he is. And so many times we parents, the first thing we got to do is observe. We got to calculate. Does this child have music abilities? Does this child have mechanical abilities? Does this child have meticulous abilities? Every child's going to like this. Or does this child have messy qualities? In my book I'm reading, it just says, If you're going to be a messy person, just tell your parents, most messy people are creative. Right, you know. You say, Mom, I'm very creative, so I'm messy, you know. Meticulous people and all of that. We have some quiet people, some loud people. Is that right? They're all different. You observe that very young in life. Is that true? The first 5 years, you can see what personality and temperament and characteristic and mannerism, dispositions, interest, dreams, intelligence. Are we all different intellectually? Are we all different size-wise? Carter, Aunt Tim's boy, has a body like Fisher's. That means he's got a big butt, okay? Jacob is a really small and petite and everything. He's got a wolf body, okay? When they get together, Carter is, and Jacob is, and are we all different? Huh? You as a parent, the first quality as a grandparent, we must calculate what this child's like. Is that true? It's very important. Sometimes we like to put them in a mold. We like to put them in a box. Okay, every child, you know, all the awards given out at school. We were just at one of the awards, the times at school, Tim's school. And, all the awards are usually given to quiet, petite little people. Never say a word. And Tim never got an award once. You know, he was loud and everything. Yeah, those people don't get awards. They just do well in life, okay? And they're all different. The first point of parenting is that you got to calculate. You got to observe. You got to analyze. You got to realize, how did God make this child? What is the calling of this child? Do all go to college? No. Are some good with their hands? Yes. Are some, they're different. And so many times we make the mistake of rearing our kids the way we were reared or the way that is supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? You need to figure out who they are and move them in that direction. I don't understand why our education system, I've heard that some in Europe give the kids tests, aptitude tests, to see what they're good at, and they move them in those directions. That makes sense. And it's important that you grasp that and realize, I'm going to observe this child. I'm going to watch my child. I'm going to be very involved. Does that take a lot of time? A lot of time. Calculate, observe, analyze, see the way God made him. What's their temperament? What's their personalities? What's their interests? What's their dreams? I asked teenagers yesterday, what do you want to be? If you could be anything, what would you want to be? Parents, we need to be talking to our children and seeing, what is the call of God? What is God's plan? What did he form them to be? Do we all have a great calling? Every person has a great calling. Every person is going to impact our planet. And we as parents need to realize, what's my child gifted for? And move them in those directions and realize that's going to take a lot of time and effort to grasp that. I want that to be something. Train up a child. Train them. And secondly, once we calculate, we need to cultivate the strengths of each child individually. Everybody turn to Psalm 139. We need to first calculate it. If you don't do that step, you might as well skip step 2, 3, and 4. But after you calculate it, then you realize the good strengths, the good qualities, the good temperaments, and you cultivate those. You mature those. You nurture those. The Hostetler family is going to come and read for us Psalm 139. Good.
Very good. We'll be reading Psalm 139, and in your pew Bible, it's page 482. If you want to turn and join.
O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off.
Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether.
Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there.
If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb.
I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them.
Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Try me, and know my thoughts.
And see if there be any wicked way in me.
And lead me in the way everlasting.
Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Very important that we understand to calculate. Secondly is to cultivate. And Psalm 139, note that verse 2 says, thou understandest my thoughts. God knows each of us, and we're all different and individual. And verse 3, it says, art acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4 says, thou knowest it. You know, God's planned everything in our lives, even before we say it. Verse 13, he covers us. He knits us together. These are some of Ronald Lee's knittings. These aren't knittings. What are they called?
Counter cross stitch.
That's what I meant. Does it take a lot to put these together? I always see her sitting over there pulling them out. And it takes it all to make it all happen, does it not? Every little piece. Does God make us like this? God makes us. God knows everything about you, your personality, your thoughts, your desires, your dreams, and He made you that way. That's why parents have to calculate and look at it. And then once they find the good qualities, they got to cultivate those. They got to nurture those and put those together and say, God, I want you to make this happen. God, make this happen in my children. Help me to train them in the Word of God. Help me to lead them in the Bible. That's why we need church. That's why you need devotions at home. That's why you need prayer times at home. That's why we have the Wednesday night Word of Life program. Are all these things important? They're very important. Not just will you go to church and sit down and shut up? No. Learn God. Learn truth. Love truth. Live truth. Man, we have a Word of Life program. The Word of God must have a priority in your lives. Amen? That's what we've just seen. And we make it a priority here at church. These families, these kids could not receive these awards without their parents making it happen. Is that right? And some of grandparents, and we praise that to realize that it's neat. I had one of them last week at our place on Sunday night to whip out and say his Bible verses right back there in the very back there, or his Bible, the books of the Bible, whipped out and says, a preacher, you want me to tell you the books of the Bible? You know, so he jumped out of the car and said, and I said, hey, that's cool. And, you know, he said them better than I could. And it was very, very good to realize that we must calculate what God has made these kids. And then we must cultivate it with all of our being, that they be Bible kids. Don't force them to do it. Don't make them do it. Don't punish them. We got to teach them to love it. Is that right? And to want it. And that's best done by parents doing that. We're going to talk about that next week. But it's so much. The Word of God must have priority. All also teaching them about God. I saw this little clip here. If we don't teach our children who God is, someone else will teach everything that He is not. And that's very important. Notice this little boy's thinking about airplane and all of that. You know, somebody's got to give him a dream to be a pilot and be a flyer and to fly in the right direction instead of the wrong direction. We must teach our kids about God. Also, time. Does it take a lot of time to train our kids? We got to calculate it, and then we got to cultivate it, and that takes effort. And in our busy world, in our world where we're just running hurried, we don't have time. We have TV to set our kids for and, you know, babysit. Now we have all these gadgets that we set our kids before. I'm not against gadgets, but let me tell you, if we just have our kids having gadgets, they become good at gadgets instead of good at knowing God. Well, it takes work. Yes, it does. It takes time. Yes, it does. It takes effort. Yes, it does. It takes dedication. Yes, it does. You know, to be a sports person of any of the sports, it takes meticulous training. The one that comes to my mind all the time is the golfer, Mr. Woods. I seen him as a little child on this evening programs and making a golf shot, 3 years old, huh? And they trained him. Is that right? We got to train our kids. And it takes effort. You got to buy some good books or catch some good books online or some computer programs. Is there good computer programs out there? Excellent stuff. Training. We must cultivate. We must find strengths and good character qualities and train them and know them, observe them, and then push them and realize that you can do this. Do our children need praise? And they do. Do you find a good quality that you say, man alive, that's an excellent quality that you have there, that you're really sweet, and you push that and you realize, God, just help them. We must calculate their qualities. We must cultivate their qualities. And thirdly, we must counteract their bad qualities, their weaknesses. Do our children have weaknesses? Not mine. You know, yeah. Psalm 58. Everybody turn there. Psalm 58. The character qualities that we have. Psalm 58, verse 2, it says, "Yea, in my heart ye work wickedness. Ye wait the violence of your hands in the earth." This says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Do we have to teach our children how to lie? It's inborn. We have an Adamic nature there. We have a sinful nature. And our job is to counteract that, to cultivate the good, the pleasant, the beautiful, the obedient, the wonderful qualities. Bless people that. Bless them. Don't go light there. But then you have the ones that are bad and evil and wickedness. And we need to stabilize them. We need to neutralize them. If they're lazy, do we have to keep them from being lazy? You know, don't make it easy on kids. You know, oh, we want them to have just a wonderful life. I think we should give them a wonderful life, but they need to tough it out sometimes. And to if they're full of pride, we got to knock that down. If they're kind of angry or hateful, we got to knock that down. We got to realize what good qualities in their personality and cultivate those. What weaknesses they have, their mannerisms or their attitudes. You know, you can give an award to a person because they are brilliant, but their attitude stinks. Is that right? And you got to realize now, wait a minute here. You know, we got to realize that God does this, and we got to deal with it. We got to guide them from the wrong way to the right way. And that's important that we realize that, God, we got to do that. That takes time. That takes involvement. That takes prioritizing. That takes moving on the heart and their desires. And that is so important that we counteract their weaknesses in each child. Is each child different? Don't put them all in the same box. One's loud, one's quiet, one's messy, one's meticulous. Don't try to make the messy one meticulous. You know what I'm saying? And you got to work at that. So you got to calculate, you got to cultivate, and now you have to counteract on these issues. The first thing we must do in counteracting these issues is lead them to repentance. Our kids got to get saved. Amen? Turn to Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 to 6. Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 to 6. The devil's born into them at birth, and they're going evil. They're speaking lies from the womb, and they need a Savior. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 2, it says, "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them." Verse 3, "And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter the kingdom of God." You got to turn from your sins humbly, simply, as a child does. Is that right? Childlike faith. Verse 3, or verse 4, and it says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Right in the middle of verse 6, it says, "Little ones which believe." Can little ones believe? We must lead them. That's why we have church. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have junior church. That's why we have Wednesday night. That's why we have specials. That's why we have VBS. Is that right? We want them to believe. We want them to repent of their sins and believe Jesus as their Savior. Repentance is you're going the wrong way and you turn around and you go the right way. Okay? You stop moving that direction. You trust God and you move towards forgiveness and service of God. I trust every person here this morning knows they're saved. That is the first step of countering our children, our own lives, our culture. We must calculate what's going on and lead them that direction. We must cultivate the good and we must counteract the bad. And the first is getting saved. Parents, live a life so that the Bible's alive in your home, that prayer's alive in your home, that it's not something forced or something that we have to do. You know, well, it's time to eat. Let's all pray. Thanks, Jesus, for food. Amen. No, there should be. Should there be something? It shouldn't just be a quickie. It shouldn't be something that we have to do. And in your Bible reading, you should have something that God gave you today. And you should get your child and tell them when they're going to bed, "Man, Dad read this in the Bible, and this is just wonderful, wonderful." You're developing love for the Bible and your prayer, to have prayers answered. We've had prayers answered this week. It's been wonderful. Do you have struggles before you get prayers answered? Yeah. And that's it. And to share that it's just not a forced thing. Oh, we're going to have to go to church. You know, you argue and fuss all the way, and when you pull in the driveway, all of y'all shut up and act like you're good kids. No, your kids are not going to walk with God. And but to catch that and to realize they need to repent and they need to receive Jesus as their Savior and they need to believe, and then it comes alive. First thing of counteracting the weaknesses is you got to get the Spirit of God in you. You got to have the be saved and repent of your sins. I trust you know Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never repented of your sins and trusted Jesus as your Savior, today's the day. And your children, you say, well, they grow up in church and they ask the Lord to save them 4 or 5 times before they're teenagers. Is that all right? That's all right. That's all right. And to solidify that time that it's my God. It's just not my parents' God. It's not my church's God only. It's my God. And He's real. And He's alive. And He helps me with my tongue. He helps me with my pride. He helps me with my anger. Is that right? God's with me. God's with me. To get saved, you can't counteract it by quit doing all that. We need to have the Spirit of God in us. Secondly, We need to replace these things. We need to replace the bad with the good. We need to realize that, hey, I need to guard my temper. I need to start controlling. I need not be lazy. I need to be responsible. I need to be humble instead of proud. I need to be sweet instead of hateful. I need to guard my mind, guard my eyes, guard my hands. I need to realize that this is what it's all about. In Proverbs 29, everybody turn there and we'll close. Proverbs 29, verse 17. This is what we replace. We got to replace the bad. And we got to realize we got to cultivate. We got to counteract. First is repent. Secondly is replace. Then replace it. Verse 17. Proverbs 29, verse 17, it says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind and gladness. Verse 18, we quote that a lot. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We talk about planning ahead and setting goals and all of that. Has nothing to do with that. It says, read verse 17, correct thy son. You're going to give him a direction. And then it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Here defines it. It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. All he is saying, where there is no direction, where there is no way of righteousness, where there is no way of doing right, kids just go wrong. Without a way of right, people perish. But if you give them the law, God's line, God's ways, God's truth, happy are they, happy. And that's our goal as parents, to replace the evil. Verse 19, a servant will not be corrected by words. Do we spend most of our time in disciplining our children saying, quit that, quit that, quit that, quit that? Do you think our parents said a lot to us? With their hand. And there's times to talk. There's times to talk, and there's times for a good little spanking. Huh? And it's very important. I think we talk too much. You go to the grocery store, and here there's this two-year-old, and the parents are giving them a talking to. Are they listening? No. But if you go, whoop, would they listen? Yes. And it's important to realize that talk's good, but sometimes there's got to be action. You know, son, listen to me. I'm not going to listen to you, Mom. Huh? Look what the Bible says. Verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than for him. This guy's talking too much. Verse 21. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him soon become his son at length. You know, he corrects him. He blesses him. He guides him. He shows them who they are and teaches them to like who they are, their unique, their identity, and that they are who they are. They're genuine, and they're under authority. Back to verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother shame. A child, another translation says, a child who gets his own way all the time. Do we have that in our culture all the time? Oh, just let the kids just give them something. Give them something to keep them quiet. Give them something to keep them quiet. You know, they won't keep quiet, so we'll just put them on this little machine. Let them play on this machine all day. Just get them out of my hair. Undisciplined. We need to realize there's counter-reaction that we say, this is the direction. This is a weakness. I believe that we should counteract our children's weaknesses, our personality weaknesses. I have personality weaknesses. And you have temperament weaknesses. Is that true? And we got to realize them. First, we got to calculate it. Then we got to cultivate the good. Oh my, praise it and build upon it. And then counteract the lazy, the hateful, the angry, the mannerisms, the attitudes. And you say, God, help us as we do this, and to realize, God, you're God, and we're going to make this happen. And it is wonderful to see all of that and to realize, God, you're God, to replace it. We got to replace it. If we don't teach them about God, we don't get any anything. And we failed as parents. You know, we might teach them to be great sportsters, but if we for not taught them to honor and obey God, we failed. That's big. And then to be a person that obeys, when you teach them to obey as a parent, you're teaching them to start yielding to God in their very youthful days. And then correction. See this little chart here. All of these charts, all of these pictures here on a paper back there. I trust all the families to grab it and to realize that. I don't have time to go through this one. But this one is, this is the modern undiscipline. No rules, no rod. Human nature is good and all that. This is biblical chastisement. You're wanting obedience as freedom. Discipline develops potential. Commands, not just talk. Parents in authority. It is very important that our day's moving in the wrong direction. And that whole chart is back there in print, and it's very important. Ron Lee's having our parenting seminar starting this coming Sunday at 9:30 in the Word of Life room for parents with children 0 to 5. And I challenge you to sign up and be with her for the Sunday school hour to have this time of training in rearing 0 to 5. Very, very important. And then to just finalize here, we must calculate. We must just observe how God's made my kids special. Are all kids special? Woo! And has God made them particular in their womb? Psalm 139? Yes. But we must observe. What temperament? What personality? How can I bless this? And then we need to cultivate the good. To cultivate it. To say, well, they got some strengths here. Let's just build on these strengths and bless people on these strengths. They're sweet here. Let's bless this. And then counteract. Counteract. And make certain that they repent and be saved. And then that they replace. We got to replace the bad with the good. And then lastly, we got to continue. Huh? Continue in your daily commitment to train each child individually as the highest priority. Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 4. It just says, so important. It says, train up the child in the training and instruction of the Lord. Amen? It's good stuff. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Children, children, children. The evil one in our culture is pushing you against everything I've said this morning. Because you want to just go your own way. And you got to realize that's the evil one. That's the devil. That's the evil one trying to get you to rebel and get you to be selfish and to get you to holler and scream and to say no and to argue and all that. That's not God's way. That's the way to frustration, misery, not to happiness and joy and peace. God's way is best. Cooperate with your parents. Cooperate. Teenagers, cooperate. Very important. Because they're calculating, how can God's plan be betterment for my child? And then cultivating it. And then counteracting the weak areas. And then continuing. Continue. Don't quit. Don't quit. Children, God's way. Follow your parents. Teenagers, don't fuss, don't fight. Don't create all kinds of havoc. Your parents were given to you by God to guide you to Him. And let them. They're not your enemy. The world says they are, but they're not. Listen to God. Follow God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I've never repented of my sins and trust Jesus as my Savior. There's not been a time when I bowed my head and said, oh God, I'm a sinner, save me, save me. And He saved me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you know for sure that you're saved by the blood of Jesus, by His death on Calvary, dying for your sins? You know you're saved. You know you're Christian because you believed. You confessed with your mouth. You believed in your heart that Jesus is God, the Savior of the world, your Savior. If you've not done that, if you don't have any assurance of heaven, preacher, I'm not sure. Make sure today. Just you, me, and God. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian on my way to heaven. Sure don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I just want to pray for you. I will not embarrass you. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? I'd love to pray for you. Make that alive. Christians, commit to raising godly kids in an ungodly world. We can do it. We can do it. Lord Jesus, help each of us to commit ourselves. Lord bless, in Jesus' name. Amen. Calculate, cultivate, counteract, continue. Huh? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, bless every home here. All the way from the grandparents to the parents, to the singles, to the teens, to the children. Lord, we gotta build a house for God. Lord, help each of us to help in that atmosphere of our church family and our own family. And Lord, keep the evil one away from our homes. Keep the evil one away from our teenagers. Help them not to rebel and to fuss and to just be graded by all this. Help them to realize this is the way to peace. This is the way to happiness. This is the way to joy. Because God's way is the blessed, best way. Lord Jesus, give us great homes. And Lord, help us to impact our world. Lord, help us to impact this community, our neighbors, co-workers, families, with the opportunity of here of VBS. Lord, use us to reach some families for Jesus this month. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Lord bless you. Greet one another.